Happy Mother's Day. Our mothers are the ones who made us who we are, and they are the ones who raised us, who brought us to the position that we are right now, where we are today. And, you know, I don't want to say anything against our fathers. They are part of that as well. But today we honor our mothers today. Let us look at two mothers in the Bible today. And we're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul writes, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also." Is in you also. You know, who is the one that is being that Paul is writing to here? Well, why, this is Timothy. It's called 2 Timothy. This is the second letter that Paul has written to this man named Timothy. Timothy was a preacher. So, have you ever thought about what it takes to raise a preacher, to raise a future preacher, a future person, someone who would end up preaching the word of God to others? Well, to be sure, we all have different backgrounds. Preachers, generally speaking, everybody has different backgrounds, but preachers also have very different backgrounds. Many of us have had unbelieving parents or parents who weren't Christians, as the New Testament defines it. Many of us still had very faithful parents, or one perhaps was faithful, but the other wasn't. So many different diverse backgrounds that we could think of that we have for preachers today. Some grew up with both parents, some in single parent homes. Some were raised by their grandparents. Timothy was one of those that we see here who grew up in a mixed household, a household where there was one individual who was faithful and one who was not. And we'll talk about that as we go through. Not much is said about Timothy's background, but there are some things that we can glean from the scriptures. We know that the religious backgrounds of his parents. Eunice, of course, is his mother. It mentioned here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 that we just read. We found out that she has a genuine faith. We can also read in Acts chapter 16 a little bit about him. So let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. "Then he," meaning Paul, "came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek." His father was Greek. So we learn a little bit about his parents here. Timothy was born to a Jewish Christian woman named Eunice and a Greek father. We know Timothy also had a faithful grandmother, Lois, that we mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 as well. We also know, continuing on in Acts chapter 16, that Timothy had a great reputation. We can see in verse 2, "And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium." But in verse 3, we find out that despite all that, he had never been circumcised. It says, "Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek." So we have the issue here with this mixed household, and yet he's still, of course, this is the Jewish custom of circumcision that the boys at 8 days old were to have done to them. And we know another passage that we might not always look to, but 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. We love verses 16 and 17, and for good reason. But chapter 15 tells us a little bit more about Timothy himself. It says, "And that from childhood," we can back up to verse 14, "but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Well, we knew that from childhood, and who do you think was involved in that? Why, his mother and his grandmother, instilling in him a genuine faith through the scriptures. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. So we are going to, again, talk about these things and what it takes to raise a preacher. And even if the outcome is your son doesn't become a preacher, if you have a son, at least he'll be faithful to the Lord. Of course, we must keep in mind, of course, if you have a daughter, just as Lois had a daughter, you will be raising her to potentially raise a future preacher. So we have that to look forward to as well. We must keep in mind that these are only general rules. Basically, if it worked for Timothy, it might work for you too. And since it's Mother's Day, we cannot neglect the influence of Timothy's mother, of Timothy's grandmother, in his formative years. So if you're a mother, if you're a grandmother, your job isn't done yet. Even if the child has grown, your job isn't done yet. So let's consider Lois, a faithful grandmother. Eunice, a house divided. And finally, Timothy, a future preacher. Lois, we find, again, is a faithful grandmother. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. We had read that not too long ago. His grandmother, Timothy's grandmother, was a woman of genuine faith. A woman of genuine faith. It dwelt in her, the passage says. And she was able to pass that on to her daughter, Eunice. We have no idea of the family dynamic in Lois's family. We don't know what it was like to live in that particular situation, to live in that family. But if Lois's husband were alive and or faithful, I'm sure that Paul would have mentioned it in the formative years of Timothy. When we first meet Timothy, he's a resident of a town called Lystra. We learn more about that in Acts chapter 14 in Lystra. And he and his family are well known by the Jews and the Christians there in the neighboring Iconium. So we find that again. We talked about that in, we read that here in Acts chapter 16. It's safe to say that Timothy's family had lived there for several generations. I think that's safe to say because their reputation was there and they knew they knew him. They knew his parents. They knew Timothy's parents. This is the same town in Acts chapter 14 that when Paul and Barnabas first visited a couple of chapters earlier, chapter 14, they tried to sacrifice animals to them after they had performed a miracle, thinking that Paul was Hermes and that Barnabas was Zeus, that they were their pagan Greek gods. It was a very pagan town. And likely there was no synagogue there in AD 48 when they first visited, when they first stopped by. Because usually the custom of Paul, whenever he would go into a town, he would go into a synagogue first, preach to the Jews, and then he would go elsewhere if the Jews, especially if the Jews didn't accept. And so we find that there was likely no synagogue there in Lystra. And that tells you quite a bit, actually. It takes 10 Jewish men in a particular area in order to have a synagogue. If you have a synagogue in a particular area, you will have 10 Jewish men in that area in order to perform all the worship duties that were necessary for a synagogue to function. And if there is no synagogue there, then it meant that there weren't 10 Jewish men in Lystra. So looking at this, I have this map up here. We find Lystra there is where he lived. Derbe is where Paul had just come from. And Timothy was known also in nearby Iconium. So we have this map here to consider. If Lois were to take her daughter Eunice to worship, considering this map, if Lois were to take her daughter Eunice to worship, she'd have to travel quite a distance to reach the nearest synagogue, likely one in Iconium, because we do read in other passages in that surrounding time that there was a synagogue in Iconium in chapter 14 and verse 1, in Acts chapter 14 and verse 1. but since they couldn't travel much more than half a mile on the Sabbath day, it's called a Sabbath day's journey. We see that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 12. Then they would have had to travel before sundown on Friday to get there and lodge with someone. They had to stay with someone there in that town. But on foot, it would have taken them, according to Google Maps, you know, on foot from Lystra to Iconium, it would have taken them 23 hours to get there. 23 hours, and that's assuming no stops. Nothing of that nature. So they would have had to have left no later than Thursday, probably Wednesday, in order to get there by sundown on Friday evening. And then in order to get home, they would have to get home no later than Tuesday, more likely on Wednesday. So when, or rather Monday, no later than Monday, but on Tuesday. So when would they have time to do anything at home during the week? They wouldn't have had any time. Going to the synagogue would likely have been a rare event, a special occasion, if you will, if they even went at all. So Lois is there raising her daughter Eunice with a genuine faith, but without so much of a church family, so to speak, you know, putting things in modern terms. And likely not much support from her husband, if she had any. We don't know what brought her to this place without much, if any, Jewish presence. Maybe she had always been there, or maybe her husband brought her out there like Naomi was brought to Moab, we find in Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We also know nothing of her husband, nothing of Lois's husband. Maybe, like Naomi's husband, he was Jewish but had died at some point. Or maybe he wasn't Jewish at all. Though, of course, since Eunice was clearly Jewish, that might lend a clue as to her parentage there. Whatever the case, she managed to maintain her faith. Lois managed to maintain her faith through all these hardships and difficulties. We find that the name Lois means agreeable. But she was tough as nails. She was able to maintain her faith through all those difficulties and raise her daughter with a genuine faith. It all starts, or it can start, with a faithful grandmother. With a faithful grandmother. Now, those of you who are women here may be grandmothers, or perhaps just mothers. I say just because, I mean, that's still a you know, why say just, you know? But you know what I mean. Or maybe you're not even there yet. Maybe you're a young lady and you're not even at that point where you're thinking about being a mother. But from any woman out there with that potential of being a mother, of being a grandmother, it starts now. As young as you could be, it starts now. If you're not a grandmother yet, you may be one day. It seems many of us have a faithful grandmother story. And that was Lois for sure. I can't tell you how many kids I've seen where, yeah, my grandmother would go to church all the time. She would quote to me the Bible and things like that. Well, that's wonderful. That's great. That's something that's desperately needed. And I recognize that many of you as grandmothers do that already, and I'm grateful for that. How many could say that they went to such great lengths to make sure that their child or grandchild were taught the ways of God? That they have, despite the fact that there was no church family that they had to support them nearby, and yet they were still able to instill this great faith in him. in Eunice and later in Timothy. Can they or will they say the same about you? You see, our decisions now have ripple effects. They have ripple effects. We don't know what effects our faithfulness or lack of faithfulness will have on others or even on future generations. Did Lois know as she was raising her daughter that her daughter would one day get married, that her daughter would one day have a son, that suddenly they would hear about Jesus and they would become Christians and her grandson would become a priest? Could she have predicted any of that when she was raising her daughter? No. No, she couldn't. So what we need to do is make sure that we are doing what we can to raise our children, our grandchildren, in the ways of God as best as we can. I do know, that the more faithful you are, the more likely your children will be faithful. The more faithful you are, the more likely your children will be faithful. And the more likely their children will be too. Lois was a woman dedicated to making sure that her daughter would also have a genuine faith, and even imparting that to her grandson, Timothy. So let's consider Eunice now. Eunice was in a house divided. Eunice, she grows up. She grows up and she gets married. She gets married to a Greek, yet through all that, she maintains her faith. She maintains her faith. One reason I know that there weren't very many Jewish men in Lystra is that Eunice ends up marrying a Greek. You know that a woman, as dedicated as Lois was, would have insisted that her daughter marry a Jewish man had there been any around. Well, with few options in that society, she gets married to a Greek, and they have a son, and they name him Timothy, which is a Greek name. The King James Version often, in some places, translates this name as Timotheus, and that might help you understand the meaning a little bit better. The first part of that means honor, and Theos means God. So she has chosen to name her child Honor God, honoring God. Now, I don't know if that was despite the father's objections, or maybe he was willing to go along with it, or maybe he thought, oh, we're talking about the gods instead of your God. Who knows? Who knows what was going on in those decisions? But regardless, this shows that she chose for her son a name regardless of her husband's wishes. Though I do know a girl when I was in high school, a girl whose father wanted to name this girl Stephanie, and her mother wanted to name her Penny, and legally her name is Stephanie, but what do you suppose they call her? So there is that possibility as well, that he might have a different name that his father calls him, but everyone else that we know, at least the Bible knows him as Timothy. At any rate, Eunice has the same difficulties that her mother had in raising this boy in the faith, far from any synagogue or any other Jewish influence. On top of that, we know for sure that she had no support from her husband. You know, in this passage, but his father was Greek, shows a contrast. It doesn't say he was a believing Greek. It doesn't say that he was Jewish in any way. This is an indication in Acts chapter 16 and verse 1 that this father did not help in any way in Timothy's religious upbringing, at least not in the manner that we would say is, well, in the truth of that time, in a proper worship to Yahweh. On top of that, don't you think if Eunice had her choice, Timothy would have been circumcised? At 8 days old, the Christianity had come to Lystra, to their hometown, in AD 48. They return again in chapter 16 a few years later. Timothy was a young man and goes with them. He wasn't a boy. So he was Jewish before that. And at 8 days old, he would have been circumcised if his mother had her way. And yet he was not. He was not. So that no doubt had something to do with his father's decision or lack of motivation to get her to get him circumcised. And who knows what pagan rituals his father would have had him participate in. There may have been some, as a young child is often told, often holds the religion of their parents. It very well could have been some kind of pagan rituals that he was asked to participate in some way. This family, however, clearly had some interactions with the Jews in Iconium and the surrounding region, since Timothy's parentage was known. It says there in verse 2, chapter 16, Acts 16, verse 2, he was well spoken of by their brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. And later, in verse 3, for they all knew, all the Jews knew, that Timothy's father was Greek. So he had to have been well known, Timothy's father and Timothy himself, in this region. So they knew about him. But overall, it would have been quite difficult for Timothy to have made it to the synagogue with her mother, Eunice, at a very young age. We find that again with that was true with Lois taking Eunice, and it's true with Eunice taking Timothy. It would have been very difficult for them to have gone to the synagogue. Still, she, along with her mother Lois, instilled that genuine faith in this boy. The grandmother and the mother alike working to help this young man become what he needed to be. It is so difficult living in a house divided religiously. You know, we have a responsibility to teach our children how to live as Christians. But the question is then, what if your spouse is not a Christian? What then? What should we do? Well, that's even more difficult if the mother is a faithful Christian while the father is not. Back then, especially culturally speaking, he had much more say in the religious direction of the household, the spiritual leadership that they had there. It would be very difficult for a woman to stand her ground religiously when up against her husband. In fact, Peter has some words to say about that. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter has some words to say about that. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be hidden. Let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. You know, I have to imagine that as this letter circulated, Timothy read it, that Timothy had read at some point this letter of 1 Peter. And as he is reading this letter, I can't help but to think, man, that sounds like my mom. That sounds like my mom. My mom did this. And that's how I am where I am today. Maybe my father was never converted, never became a Christian, but man, that helped me. That helped me. Despite her obedience to her husband, Eunice's obedience, she was still able to put her foot down to some degree to make sure that her boy was raised with a proper faith. And when she heard the gospel, she had obeyed it. We find in Acts chapter 16 and verse 1 that she was a Jewish woman who believed. She had obeyed the gospel and was now able to worship with fellow Christians in her hometown of Lystra. You see, before Paul had come, she wasn't able regularly to worship with fellow Jews. But now that Christianity had come, now that Paul had come and brought the gospel, she is able to worship with other people on a regular basis. Man, I know we've had some difficulties with that. Many of us haven't been able to worship with one another. I know a couple ladies here that I haven't seen in for a very long time who are able to be with us now. And that's a remarkable thing. And that's only after some months. Can you imagine not being able to do that for years? Perhaps rarely ever doing that your whole life. Finally able to get... Man, what does David say in Psalm 122, verse 1? I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." That's what Eunice was saying when Christianity came. I'm able to worship again. Worship regularly with like-minded people. No, these aren't Jewish Christians, but man, they believe in the same God I do. And they worship the same God I do. Man, how wonderful that must have been for her. And I'm sure Timothy appreciated that too. And in their worship services, I'm sure that Timothy was right there leading songs, or leading in prayer. Or maybe he even taught a lesson or two before Paul had come the second time. Statistics show that if you marry a non-Christian, you are far more likely to fall away than if you had married a Christian. But if that happens, if you happen to find yourself in that position, if you're unmarried, find a Christian man to marry. But if you happen to find yourself in that position, perhaps you did marry a Christian and he falls away, or he dies, or something of that nature. If you happen to be in that situation, stay strong. Stay strong. If you can lean on your parents, as Eunice did. She leaned on her mother, Lois. Eunice didn't let the faithful efforts of her mother be in vain, but kept the faith and even shared it with her son. How many faithful grandmother stories are there, as we talked about a moment ago, only to leave it there with mothers doing anything other than being a Christian? Oh yeah, my grandmother, she loves the Bible. She reads it all the time. She studies. She goes to church every day. Well, what about your mother? Well, she's working all the time, or she can't ever take us. How many do we see like that? Don't let it end with a faithful grandmother. Don't let it end with a faithful grandmother. Be strong and faithful, not just for your sake, but for your children too, and your children's children. That's what we see with the ripple effect. That ripple effect. After all, Eunice and her son, and probably even her mother Lois, were able to attend worship together for 3 years between AD 48 and AD 51, or of 3 years or so before Timothy went with Paul and Silas on their journeys. For 3 years, how wonderful is that? She was raised, she had raised someone who would one day become a preacher. Given all her hardships, now the question is, how did she do it? How did she do it? Well, we are low on time, so we will go through these pretty quickly. Timothy, the future preacher. How did she do it? First, she wasn't alone. She had her grandmother, Lois, there with her. Second, she had a genuine faith. A genuine faith. You know, I know I've talked about that quite a bit, but it's so important for us to have that genuine faith. How do we get a genuine faith? How do we make sure that our faith is genuine? Well, it means that we believe what we teach and we're willing to act on it. That's what it means to have a genuine faith. Are we going to make mistakes? Of course we are. And kids are often quite good at pointing out hypocrisy. Oh, but you said this, but why are you doing this instead? Out of the mouth of babes, right? And nursing infants. They will point out those things. And we need to make sure that we are examining ourselves, as we see in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine ourselves and make those changes if necessary. It's a great thing having children, because you see yourself mirrored and you realize, wow, I need to make some changes. It can be quite a blessing. Third, she taught Timothy the Bible. Both Lois and Eunice taught Timothy the Bible. Remember, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. It wasn't just her alone. It was her grandmother, or her mother rather. And how did Timothy know the Holy Scriptures from childhood unless he was raised in it? He was steeped in it since he was a little child. He wasn't getting it from his father, but he was getting it from his mother and his grandmother, who were so instrumental in teaching him the Bible, the Word of God. It just so shows how important it is for us to instill in our kids a genuine faith through teaching the Scriptures along with our own example. After all, how does faith come? How are you going to know, as a child, how are you going to know the faith unless you first hear it? And how are you going to hear it unless you see it lived out with your parents and they teach it to you as well? You know, a Bible class program is great, is fantastic. Boy, that's only supplemental, though. It should only supplement the stuff that you teach them at home. You know, Timothy didn't have a Bible class growing up, at least not one at his synagogue. And yet he was still able to learn what he needed to do. He was still able to be made wise through the Holy Scriptures so that he might be saved. Man, what a great thing. That's what we need to do. As parents, we can't rely on the Bible class alone to teach our kids. It must be taught at home for it to have any lasting impact at all. And who knows, maybe you are teaching a future preacher or teaching a future teacher of a future preacher. Man, you don't know. Those ripple effects will go on through time and outlive you, and you don't even know. You won't even know. And even if you're not, having faithful children and grandchildren is still quite a blessing, isn't it? Fourth, Timothy had a great reputation. There's so much to be said about a great reputation. And he had a great reputation here. And, you know, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1, a good name is better than a precious ointment. Proverbs 22 and verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. How important it is to have a good name, to have a good reputation in the area. How did he get that good reputation with the brethren in Iconium? Well, maybe he and his family visited Iconium on occasion. Or maybe he even, with the brethren there, maybe he was even asked to preach there from time to time. After all, his knowledge of the Scriptures, no doubt he was able to help out in the pulpit, as it were, from time to time there in the church in Iconium. Perhaps Paul even heard him preach at some point and decided that he could be even better with some help and guidance to hone his skill. In any event, his good reputation was a result of the efforts of both his mother and grandmother to instill in him a genuine faith from the Scriptures and from their own faithfulness. So how important are mothers? How important are mothers? The importance of the efforts of Lois and Eunice here, in spite of so many difficulties and hardships, cannot be understated. How important is it? If they can do it, if they can raise a sound gospel preacher, you can too. That's how they did it, by teaching him the Scriptures and by having a genuine faith. Only a genuine faith would be so dedicated to teaching the scriptures and following them to the best of their ability. Let us do that. Let us do all that we can to help our children and grandchildren to be the best Christians that they can be. Teach them what's important. You know, it's not a youth program. It's serving God. It's not an after-school activity, including sports. It's worship and Bible study. It's not watching TV. It's helping someone. It's not playing video games. It's teaching someone the gospel. I'm not saying don't ever do those things. I'm just saying help them see what's important and focus them on where they need to be. Teach them to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and things will turn out well. Have you seen this? There's a 0.0296% chance your child will become a professional athlete. But there's a 100% chance your child will stand before Jesus. Get them to church. Teach them the scriptures. Teach them the Bible. Yeah, all those activities are fun and can be very important. But you know what's more important? The Word of God. And even if they do make that small fraction of a percentage, they still will meet our Maker. If you need to obey the gospel today, I encourage you to do so. Now is the time. If you want to raise faithful children and grandchildren, now is the time. Now is the time to get started on that, so that we might one day go before our Father in heaven and say, hey, I did all I could. I did all I could. And maybe, who knows, you can, if you're a mother or a grandmother of a faithful preacher, man, whoever they end up teaching the gospel, and you might be able to know that you had a part in that. How wonderful a feeling is that? How amazing is that? I encourage you, if you have a need this morning, let us know about it so we can help you, so that you might recognize that there is a God in heaven, and that we can do all that we can to teach our children the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, what we need to do is we need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of our sins, confess his name, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. If that's something that you need to do this morning, I encourage you, please, come forward. If you have a need, let us know about it as we stand and as we sing.